Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Been at CIU for a long time. Both my daughters went here. Just my family grew up at CIU. Patty, we lived in, they're not here anymore. There used to be houses down towards the point, no apartments back there. And so we lived on what they called Faculty Row. And Patty would come with our munchkins before they started school. And they'd go around campus. And I got popular because I had little kids and, you know, whatever I could have to buy credibility with people. But this place has just been home. If I survive this year, John and Dom living at our house, if we make it through that, then 30 years, I'll have worked here, more than half of my life. And CIU has blessed us so much. The student life team, current people and people from the past have just invested in us, loved us, prayed for us, walked with us through all kinds of things. But some of the biggest impressions that have been made in our life has been made by students. Just different relationships that we've had. I've had groups that I've met with through the years, and we've got a very special group of guys that we call the brothers. They were in a discipleship group with us, and through a crazy summer, they all ended up coming, and for a few years, every Wednesday night, they were at our house for dinner. Our kids were like in middle school age, and so they had a ton of influence on my kids. And it was amazing. And now they're married and they've got their own kids. And they're like, wow, you didn't tell us about all this. But what you guys mean to so many of us, faculty and staff here, I don't think you know. I don't know that you appreciate. But what I want to talk to you about today is not so much it's not an expository message, true preaching. It's straight from God's word, but it's also from my heart. And so God's word through Rick and my experiences to you where we are right now, today, in all that's going on in our lives and in our world. And so I want to just share from the heart. And so the passage that I want us to look at is in Philippians chapter 2. Paul has been encouraging the church at Philippi. He's really calling them to unity. At the end of chapter 1, he says, only let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's just kind of this line he throws out there. Let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Man, that's a pretty high charge. Well, what does that look like? And he says, well, I want you to just be of the same mind, this unity theme that goes on through the end of chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, he says, would you bring me joy? Would you make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, the same spirit, just this whole being in one accord, that we're about what God's doing. This is Paul's way of saying, church, would you go deep? Dr. Smith challenged us with that and just kind of our theme for the year. And so Paul is here saying, Philippi, go deep. You need to go deep because this unity is not just going to happen if you don't go deep. And so he's talked about this unity. And then what flows out of that is the passage that I want us to look at today. So starting in verse 3, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Yeah, you always blank when you do that. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but the interest of others. Consider others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, though being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself by taking the form of the servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Paul is sharing this here, and just in a few minutes, I just want to talk to you about this passage and what it means to me and what's on my heart for CIU in the midst of this. And so those first lines back in chapter 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. What is selfish ambition? Personal gain, even at somebody else's expense. You know, when you put it there, selfish ambition doesn't sound too God, but when you think about that, my gain at somebody else's expense. And I've shared this before, but for some reason, I developed kind of a quick tongue. And I was, I wouldn't know that you would call it gifted, but I could get a laugh very easily at somebody else's expense. That quick barb, that quick sentence there that kind of took somebody down, but everybody else laughed at it. If you consider that a gift, I was good at that. That selfish ambition, I wanted the laughs at somebody else's expense. And as I grew up and did that one time and brought a young lady to tears, I just kind of was like, oh, geez. And even in college, as I was growing and maturing, I still lapsed into that. And a professor yanked me aside and said, we need to talk, we need to meet, and you need to memorize this. And if you ever want to look it up, Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You can look that up. But he made me memorize that. And oh my gosh, did that smack me upside the head. Look at yourself. What are you engaged in where you want to get ahead, even if it costs somebody else? What does that look like? Now, I'm not talking about on the athletic field that you need, no, really, you go ahead and win the race, that's fine. I don't want to be self, nah, that's a little bit different. But talking bad about somebody so that you look better in other people's eyes, those types of things, taking advantage on your taxes or something like that, this selfish ambition. Conceit, what is conceit? Excessive pride in oneself, an excessively favorable opinion of one's self. If you want to see an example, just pick up the remote, click the TV on. It doesn't matter if it's the news, it's politics, it's athletics, it's movie stars, it's whatever. They're excessively proud of what they've done and what they've accomplished. And some of them will talk the fair game when they're being interviewed after the game, but we see them. It always gets me in football games. Somebody makes a big hit, and they're up pounding their chest. And yeah, it was a good hit, but it's not like the game's over. You know, and sometimes their team is way behind and they make a big hit and they're up there pounding their chest. And I'm like, you're losing big time, you know? So, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. And so Paul juxtaposes this with selfish ambition and conceit. The I, the me, the my, they don't take priority right now. There's someone or something that's more important at the moment besides me. Something's going on that I need to be clued into, and I need to step out of the picture, and I need to think about that. Ah, it's such a hard thing for us to do, to take that posture. And really, it only comes from going deep. If you're not going deep, it's not going to come. It's just not natural for human beings to do that. Paul goes on and says, count others more significant than yourselves. Note the plural here, yourselves. He's writing to the church. And so there's an individual and there's a collective application to this. It's not just an individual, but collectively as people groups, we need to be thinking about this. Paul didn't want this church to be so caught up in itself, and that's where the division was coming from, but they need to be unified. And he's saying it's about you as a group. You guys have to be connected. It makes me think about face masks. So you're walking along and you don't have your face mask on, and here comes a group of people, just pop it on. It's not a hard thing to do. It's not a fun thing to do. I hate it. I realized this morning when I got out of my truck and put this on, Patty, we probably need to wash this one. And so those kind of things happen, and none of them are comfortable, and I got a fat head, and so they all pull on my ears, all that kind of stuff. It's not about me. It's about us and doing that. So then Paul says, let each of you look not only to your own interests. Looking back at verse 3, it talked about selfish ambition or conceit. Nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Don't look for your own interests. This, like I was saying before, this is hard in our life. When I got married, all of a sudden, it wasn't Rick first. It was Patty. And I had to start thinking about her interests. And so that cost me some of my time, my wants, my things. And I had to recalibrate and say, okay, it's not about me so much. And then Patty and I got in a good groove. We were married for 5 years before we had our first child. Amy was our first child. So compliant. Literally, Amy would come and tell on herself. I did this. And be like, and now I'm supposed to, like, what, spank you? You know, where you're doing this kind of stuff? Amy was God's sucker punch. I mean, God's setup for Katie, who was God's sucker punch for us. Katie took all the mischievousness that should have been in all of our children, and it all went into one. And Katie had that. But as we had our three kids, Patty and I had to learn to recalibrate our life again, look out for their interests. And man, kids take up a lot of time. Amens from over here. Is it worth it? Oh, heck yeah, it's worth it. Would I do it all over again? No, I probably wouldn't do it all over again. Because we're empty nesters and it's back to us and all that kind of stuff. But they still call, hey dad, and all these kind of things. But it comes out of love and pushing aside our own interests. But then Paul says, don't look out for your own interests, but look out the interests of others. Let's get heavy. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'm white. I really am. Wow. Revelation after 20 plus years, right? I grew up in a great home. Loving parents, Christian parents, dad pretty well off. I had it pretty easy. I would also say that my parents had a pretty good perspective on people from God's viewpoint. I don't ever remember anything racist coming out of that. My dad interacting with colleagues that were of different origin, descent. He always seemed to be, they were in our home, they invited them over. I had a pretty good picture. We moved from England back to Washington, D.C. In the early 70s. If you've ever seen Remember the Titans, it was that. That's where we moved. The very first game that the Titans played was Herndon High School, the Herndon Hornets, where my sister went to school. She was in the junior high that was right next to the high school that was there. Racial stuff going on all the time. I was a sixth grader, oblivious to it all. My neighborhood, I mean, as far as I can think, up and down the street, great place to go trick-or-treating. I don't know that I ever saw a black family in that area. I'm just saying it. That's where I grew up. I was clueless. I really was. I heard about things and it was like, oh man, that's bad. But I was clueless. This summer, there were some prayer times down at Pineview. And heard some of students, some staff sharing down there their experiences. Oh man, it broke my heart, Patty's heart. Getting to know Trey, we've had many conversations, his experiences. Andre Rogers, we go way back. Some of his experiences, James McCall, Do they bother me? Oh, man, they bother me. I do care. I deeply care. But I can't fully understand that because I'm this white guy. And what do I do with all of this that's going on? Well, I'm standing with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to be there. I listen, just like Dr. Smith was saying. I'm listening and learning so I can love and lead. And I really want to do that. And it didn't just start this summer, but man, has it come to a critical point. It doesn't come naturally. It's given by the grace of God. And there are things that happen that just kind of make us step back, make me step back. This summer, Dean Daniels, on the soccer team, he called, was interested in connecting. Could we talk? And so we got together a couple times over the summer. But one time he was in my office, and we were talking about just all that's going on, social justice and racial tension and all those kinds of things. And just kind of listening to Dean. I don't know if he made this up, but I'll give him credit, and then he can give credit to wherever it's due. But he just shared this. He said, you know, in your subdivision, which house is most important? Well, they're all important. Now, if one of them was on fire, then which one's most important? Well, obviously the one that's on fire. We need to take care of that house. We need to watch over that. That was a great analogy, just a good picture that's there. So I get all lives matter, blue lives matter, I get all that stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, black lives matter right here, right now. And I think what bugs me the most is the world that doesn't get this passage that we're talking about. This world will hijack anything that they can get a hold of to push an unbiblical agenda. And so things have jumped on to Black Lives Matter with the gay agenda and all that kind of stuff that has no business being there. I'm not worried about that. But I am concerned that we do care. And we've seen posts and we've seen different things and we want conversations, we want all those types of things. I get it. Everybody is important and significant to God. We all count. He loves us. He cares deeply for every one of us. But I want you to know, and this is Rick Swift, and I'm sure it goes for a multitude of faculty and staff that are here, that if you are black, I care. And I want to know, and I want to help, and if you're struggling, then I'm here. And I may not be the most first choice to come to, because I'm white, I'm also the dean. I'm still a nice guy. Take it from me. I really am a nice guy. But it matters. Outside of God's goodness and grace, we're not going to get this thing fixed. But dadgummit, right here at CIU, we've got him. And we're going to go about it, and we're going to go after it. And so I want to help. Because this passage of Scripture tells me that I have to. If I say who I am and I'm going deep with God and I don't pull this off, then I've denied everything that God has given me by His grace. Well, how can we do that? Well, that's the balance of the passage that we have there. And it goes off into this, and we'll just go through these real quickly. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you have the same mind as Him. That only comes through relationship. He existed here in the form of God. He was God on earth, fully man, fully God. I don't get it. I'm human, but I believe it. He pushed that all aside. I could claim everything, is what Jesus could say, but I'm going to push that there, and I'm going to fulfill my Father's purpose. I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to serve. Look at all the people that Jesus served. Pushed aside the religious leaders to go after the people because they were lost like sheep without a shepherd. And his heart flowed out to them. He cared deeply. If Jesus wore his t-shirt back there, maybe he said, Samaritan lives matter. You know, hated people, but he loved them. And as a result of that, what God did for his son is he lifted him up to the highest position possible, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, and every one of your knees is going to bow, and mine too. Because we're either in heaven, on earth, or we're under the earth. We're in one of those three places, and if we're there, our knees are going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can choose to do that at the judgment seat, or you can start right here, right now. And some of you started last Sunday night or a couple Sunday nights ago and gave your life to Christ. Amen to that. You want to go deep? We got to live it out. And this passage lays us all bare. Don't look out for your own interests. Look out for the interests of others. On a minimal level, face masks. Put them on. Mask up, people. On a much bigger level, for our black brothers and sisters, they need to know we're there and that we care. And you may be all about all lives matter. That's okay. There's a house on fire. And we need to stand with our brothers. If I'm not doing it right, you call me out. Face mask or otherwise. I want to lead by example. Because I believe in the Lord, and I want to represent him, and I want to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. You gave your life for me. You gave your life for every person in here. And Father, we need your help to live this out. It comes by going deep. You love us, Lord. You've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Through our faith, would you, by your grace, give us what we need to champion the cause of Christ and lead a hurting, dying, sick world to you. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.